Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, next month, sporting fans will be looking to Tokyo as the Olympics start. And apart from the crowd-pleasing sports like the athletics, the gymnastics and the boxing, there are literally dozens of lesser-known sports to enjoy. So today we're talking about three of the more minority sports on offer at Tokyo, and we'll be talking to people here who enjoy them as hobbies. Fencing has long been an Olympic event for over 100 years. Skateboarding and climbing are new events to these games. And I'm joined now by Hannah Larry O'Reilly, who has fenced for Ireland. Hannah, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Claire.
Here with us in the studio, Pat Falvey will be well known to you as an explorer and high altitude mountaineer. And Dion McGarrity is a skateboarder and owner of Killing Time Skateboards. So, Hannah, I'm going to start with you because you're sitting in front of me. When I say fencing, I'm talking about fencing with swords, with posts and stakes and so on. When did you take up fencing?
I took up fencing when I joined college. When I started college, I just rocked up to the stall at Freshers' Week. And my grandmother had fenced, so I was very keen to get into it. And I had 4 amazing years of fencing in Trinity College, and I fenced for Ireland. I just got really passionate about it. I went to training camps abroad, to Poland, Germany. It was just fantastic. It's a great sport. You can take it up in your adulthood, and you can still really enjoy it. Or it's great to see now in Ireland a lot of juniors are really taking part in it, and it's really up and coming. So I'd really recommend it as a sport.
What do you need? What's the kit?
You need your sword. So it's either an épée, a foil, or a saber. And then you need your whites, your glamorous whites that we all know from the movies. And so that's the
They're kit. Not that glamorous though,
yeah.
Are they?
They're not that glamorous. They're very smelly after a while. But that aside, you know, it looks cool. So that's your kit. And once you get that, you have that for years. So that's really it. And then off you go, and you can join a fencing club. And there's numerous around Ireland. You can look those up at fencingireland.net and find one in your locality. And it's so athletic that people don't really understand how the amount of fitness and training that goes into it. You have to have such leg strength. And then that's all aside from the skills that you need for your arms and your eye coordination, your eye-hand coordination, and the sword skills. So it really is. It's a tough game, but it's very rewarding.
So talk us through the basics then of the aim of the game.
Well, the aim of the game is to get to 15. So a match goes to 15. And in, let's say, take for example, my weapon, which is épée, you get a point when you hit your opponent, and you can hit them anywhere on the body. And a light goes off. You're hooked up to an electric spool. So a light goes off. And if you see the light go off, then you've got the point. But if 2 lights go off, then both players get a point.
Okay. And then, of course, on your side, defensively, you're acting all the time to avoid that happening
to
you.
That's it. So you kind of run up and down the piste so that you run away from your opponent and attack. So you're moving up the piste.
Your experience then when you went to the Polish training camp?
Yeah. Talk to us about that. That was tough. God, we got up at 6 a.m. every morning for a run. And then that was followed by a 3-hour training session, then lunch, and then another 3-hour training session, and then another 3-hour training session. I think every night I got into bed, my body was spasming uncontrollably every night. It was so tough, but it was worthwhile. It was great. But I think my friend and I, at the end of it, we slept for a week when we got home.
So they take it very seriously.
Very seriously. And we saw the Hungarian fencing team training when we were over there, and they take it. Oh, it's amazing to watch them. They're like ballerinas or I don't know, gymnasts. They're so incredible. And the weight training that they were doing, the leg training. Oh, it was just amazing. The point training, it's all about repetition. So you just have to keep practicing, hitting the target. It's amazing to watch it at that level.
Now, Ireland doesn't send a fencing team, do we, to
no,
the Olympics?
No, we're not the strongest fencing nation. We have sent 17 fencers over the years since 1948. I think the last was Siobhan Byrne in 2008 in the Beijing Olympics. But I think there's a lot of upcoming fencers, so hopefully in the future we will see more Irish fencers competing, because it's really a fantastic sport.
However, all is not lost, because there will be one Irish athlete who will be wielding a sword.
That's it, Natalia Coyle. She is a modern pentathlete, and she's heading over, and she went to London and also to Rio. She's an amazing, amazing athlete, and so fencing is part of modern pentathlon. Mm. It's running, shooting, swimming and horseback. horse riding as well. So she's
and you trained
incredible.
With her.
I trained with her in yeah. Trinity. Yeah, we had some great bouts. So Tal's a fantastic girl. So wishing her all the best over there, and you know, hopefully she'll really just kick ass and hopefully medal.
It's extraordinary when you think about what she's going to do. You've explained the athleticism around one discipline.
That's it. But I mean, to go off and train for five different sports, it's unbelievable. It's incredible the amount of hard work and dedication. But it's fantastic, and she's such a strong fencer as well. You know, she could almost go off and fence for Ireland at the Olympics, and as well as run for Ireland, swim for Ireland. I mean, she's incredible. She really is. So hopefully, she'll do really well over there.
Well, Pat Falvey, as I said, is with us too. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Claire. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. For the first time, your own sport will be represented at the Olympics.
Yeah, and it's great. And I think all the fraternity, all the people that are involved, both in the climbing side of it, in the sport climbing side, and the bouldering side, we're all very excited because it's bringing a whole new impetus into our own sport, which is that of climbing. And we have lots and lots of people taking it up, as you can see, climbing walls shooting up all around the place, young people getting involved. And to have the sport, you know, represented in the Olympics will just add to this and add the enthusiasm of the people that's getting involved. And I think that's very, very important. And it's the same there, as Hannah has said, like, you know, it just instills great enthusiasm for other people that are in the sport to actually become better at it.
Okay, so in the Olympics, we'll have lead climbing, speed climbing and bouldering. Will you take us through those three?
Yeah, well, lead climbing would be where that, in other words, you have to put in the protection, and basically they'll keep moving the handholds, and they'll be making more difficult. And it is the person that would probably get to the best score in relation to getting up a climb will become the winners. And being honest, you know, nowadays it's just gone to the fact that climbing isn't even like climbing anymore. Like, you nearly at that level, you're nearly a gymnast. Mm-hmm. And as Hannah has said, the time they'd be putting in, like, you know, from weightlifting to, you know, training to being out on the crag, you know, is just phenomenal. The time that these people put in to their passion, like, is amazing. And it's the same with speed climbing. What they'll be doing is they'll be testing probably the same, you know, holds and things like that, but it's the speed at which they can get to the top. Like, if you ever, like, watch some of the pictures there of free solos or anything like that, it's people lunging from place to place. It's just their ability. The magic of it, the beauty of it, actually, and seeing them move is incredible. And it'll bring a whole new, you know, interest to the sport, because there is thousands and thousands at the moment in Ireland, like, getting involved in all of those, and from all ages, like from 6 years of age. Like, some people there have kids, they bring them to the climbing wall. And it's amazing the talent that they have. But to have a sport like this now, it will increase that interest, that they have somewhere that they can take their Everest to if they're in that athletic type of a sport.
And what's bouldering then?
Bouldering is where that there's a boulder, and that, you know, like if you look at it even around anywhere that you go, like, you could see boulders. And what they do is that they go out and they try to make all the hard moves to get up on top of it. I'm not too sure at this stage in the Olympics, like, what they're considering as bouldering, whether they have boulder fields or like that they have in France and things like that. But it is, again, like, about testing your ability, your agility, your speed, your flexibility, you know, to be in all type of contorted situations and to get up and over these things safely. And
is it jumping? Is it jumping from rock to rock?
Well, it wouldn't be jumping from rock to rock and bouldering, but like in the likes of the climbing, you could find some people, like, to get from one point to another, they might have to make a lunge. In others, like, it's like a piece of an elastic jumping up. And you often see that on the big wall climbing. And in Ireland, like I come from the old school, I wouldn't be next to near as flexible or as agile. But to see it in itself, like them doing it, like, it's a beauty in itself to see what they can do. Like, hanging from their, literally from their fingernails, and then making moves that actually could cut across.
It's extraordinary. Are the swords sharp? A listener would like to know, Hannah, in fencing.
They're not sharp. They're kind of blunt. But I mean, when you hit with the lunge, it really does pack a punch.
Okay,
it can be
you feel it.
You do feel it. Okay. Yeah.
Dion, as I said, McGarrity is with us as well. Dion, good morning to you.
Hi, Claire. Good morning.
Killing time skateboards. I was watching some of your videos on YouTube this morning, and to me it appeared as though someone had glued the skateboard to your feet. I know that that's not what happens, but tell us first of all how you got involved in the sport.
I got involved back when I was, say, 9 or 10. It would have been about 2000. From me to playing the Tony Hawk's games, or I had, like, friends and family that were kind of interested in skateboarding, so I got into it then, and then I went on a holiday over to Australia and I seen some of the skate parks that were over there. And the scene obviously back then was very small here compared to over there. So when I came back, that kind of triggered it a bit more for me. And ever since then, I just kept it up.
And how do you feel about skateboarding then being an Olympic sport? Like, it's a very free-flowing thing to do, isn't it, when you're out in the park or the skate park or wherever. Should it be, does it feel wrong to have it as a structured sport in the Olympics?
In a way, it's kind of a mixed opinion about it, I guess. Depends what kind of skateboarders you'd be talking to. But it's great exposure for it, especially for the facilities around the world when the skate parks are building. And it's just good for the skateboarders to be in it.
And how do you think it'll work from a marking system point of view? Do you know at this stage?
Each skater will have three runs that are 1 minute long. And then I think if it's to go by, there's another competition in America called Street League, which has been kind of nearly like the run-up competitions to the Olympics, but they've been doing that a few years. So we've known for about 3-4 years that skateboarding is actually going to be in the Olympics. And then at the end, they have a 5-best trick. So you can add up your points through that.
And what is the nation? You mentioned America there in the Street League. Is America the nation to watch out for, do you think, when it comes to the Olympics?
Yeah, they will definitely be the best. They have some of the best skateboarders in the world there. And that, as I said, the Street League has been a platform used because it's on every year a few times. So you win trophies through that.
The best of the best will be going through that one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how it's been done. But there's other great skateboarders as well from Brazil. And there's also an amazing one that skates in the Street League from Japan, but he'll be representing Japan over there.
What about Sky Brown? Tell us about this 12-year-old. She's in line to be selected for the Great Britain Olympic team, isn't she?
Yeah, she's fairly amazing. There's a lot of great female young skateboarders that are coming up. I think she might live in America at the moment, but she'll be representing over there. She injured herself last year in the shoulder. But for her that young, representing is pretty amazing to do.
Mm-hmm. Is it dangerous?
Yeah, definitely. I've hurt myself a lot, but it's just part of it. We're kind of rewarding, I guess, when you land tricks, especially with street skateboarding, which is much preferred over here. Because the Olympics will be done in two different... It'll be done more for ramps, and then the other will be a street section. So there's two different aspects of it.
Okay. And speaking of injuries, Pat, a lot of people, as you mentioned there, since lockdown COVID started, have been out walking in their local areas and climbing more, and there have been a lot of injuries as a result, haven't there?
Yeah, like, you know, I think in Kerry already in the last couple of weeks, like, we've had 14 rescues, over the month alone just on the reeks. But that, like, that would be way different what things is going on at the Olympics. But in one way, it's great to see people coming out, you know, young and old, like from 50 to 90. I see them out on the hill from 6 upwards. So, like, COVID has actually increased the aspect of people getting out into the great outdoors, and it's great to see. But I think that the main thing is that when people do come out, climbing, or, like, once you go off a track or anything like that, or once you start, you know, heading up, it's just to take all the precautions that's required in relation to do that. And if it's the case you're in areas like that, you need to go... then a lot of the time I'd suggest taking a guide, you know, because the other thing we're having here as well is a lot of people getting lost going up into the hills and not being appropriately dressed or appropriately knowledgeable of where they're going. And it's causing a big problem, like, in rescues all around the country.
Okay, and Hannah, Mary is in her 60s and she would like to know, can you take up fencing at any age?
Oh, absolutely. I'd highly advise it. It'd be great, great activity, great social life, and it's just all around fitness and health. It's a great option for it, yeah.
Okay, even though you spoke about the physicality, you think that you could do it at any age?
You could do it at any age. You don't need to be the most aggressive or physical on the piste. You could just take a bit of a, you could be more of a defensive fencer, and absolutely, I'd highly advise Mary to take it up.
And Dion, I don't suppose you want the old now out skateboarding, or you wouldn't advise that, would you?
Nah, probably not. But really? in saying that, there is a few that you'd see in a skate park that might come with their kids and they'd have a skateboard. But there's definitely been a huge rise in young skateboarders, especially in the last few years and during the lockdown. There's a new group that my friend is doing called Skate School Dublin. So he's gone around to the inner city skate parks and teaching kids for private lessons and summer camps. So it's a great way to get kids and new people out there.
Well, listen, it's been great to talk to all of you, and it just whets our appetite, really, for the Olympics, which is coming up. Hannah, Pat and Dion, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.